Hey guys, this is Lauren with the Century 21 Property Advisors Podcast. I can't wait to share what we have for you today.
Of the two. And then same thing here. Well, they had three, and so we're going to use the 813. So this person had a gateway loan, FHA, perfect history, zeros all the way across, right? It's joint. You see that? All three bureaus. Barclays his. Only $5,000, has a $20,000 limit. There's that example C with a J, that co-borrower. They're joint with somebody. It'll have an A out here. It'll see A, like C, A, and that means they're an authorized user on somebody's account. I don't think I have that example on here, but see, I mean, real clean report. No collections, no inquiries, no public records. It makes me smile. Because that means I have no letters I have to worry about. I don't have to worry about them having just opened a new, you know, Jaguar. I say that because I saw a Jaguar credit. You know, these are good. I have a loan I'm doing next week. I'm going to get it done in 2 weeks, you know, because for whatever reason, and I know you guys use them, and I'm not trying to beat, but Navy Fed, they usually do a good job. You know, I can tell you, I've never saved a deal for Navy Fed, but for whatever reason, they've been sitting on this file, and they said they couldn't even submit the file to underwriting without the appraisal being approved, and the appraisal came in October 1, and as of, like, Friday of last week, they still had not gotten it approved, and the people have this kind of credit. And I'm like, this is like, thank you, this is free money, you know. I'll take that right here at Christmas coming, you know. My kids appreciate that. So, you know, so they're going to write thank you notes to Navy Fed. I'm not saying that this year, it'll be thank you to Navy Fed, you know. But, you know, but this is what you want to see. That's a good, clean report, that type of deal. And again, you know, we get all kinds of information on everything. Past employers, their past addresses. Sometimes some underwriters, mine does not, but some underwriters will ask for an explanation on the various addresses in the last 2 years that are on here that weren't on your credit or on your application. Mine doesn't care about it, but you may get that from time to time from some underwriters. So there we go. I send that to them every time. So FICO impact, under 580, like I said, it limits you to 10% down. 580 to 619, higher interest rates, as much as 1% higher than the lowest rates available. 620, with a credit score in this range, your interest rate will be slightly higher, about a half a point typically. And somebody with that great credit. And then again, that 680-739 opens up a whole lot more opportunities. And then 740, that's your ideal world. These are slam dunk loans. As long as their debt to income's fine, you know, we live for these and look for these and hope for these every day. I live in this world most of the time. You know, that's where I live most of the time. Most of the loans I deal with are in that range, you know. Real estate agents are usually here or here. They don't live here in their credit. Y'all's credit scores are never here. I don't know why. It's either excellent or awful. I mean, there's nowhere in between. I'm kidding a little bit, but that's... I've done a lot of real estate agents loans, which is always an honor, and I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, but that's usually the case.
Well, it's tough because you're self-employed. That's what just like
I
had to do my income tax the other day. Because I think everything's fine as long as you didn't go crazy and make it where you didn't make any money.
Right.
That's what we strive to do. Right.
Exactly.
It depends on what your goal is.
Yeah. Well, but at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I'll say, you know, since you brought it up, I mean, you file a fair income tax return.
Yeah.
Yours is not. You're not trying to hide anything. You take legitimate, write-offs. You're not doing anything to get down to zero. You know, there are some people that, oh, hey, I drove by Starbucks, and I think I closed a deal with somebody that works there, so I can write that. That would have cost me $6 if I stopped, so I'm going to write that off, or whatever. I mean, it's exactly.
You lost me.
Because they lose me when they explain that to me. All I can tell you is, you don't have to explain it to me. I can't get you alone. These are legal. Okay, they're legal, whatever. I'm just telling you, I can't get you a loan because you show you make no money.
Right, and so you obviously have a 740, do.
Yeah, exactly. You're driving a Jaguar, I know you make money, but
it's just a car.
But it's just a car. So, this is how all these things going to impact it. I think a lot of times it does fluctuate for you guys because you do put stuff on credit cards when you go showing houses, doing all that kind of stuff, and it does fluctuate, as well.
Hey, can I ask a question about BTI?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you have a renter, okay?
Uh-huh.
Say they're renting a property. They don't own it, so is that rental, is their monthly payment counted towards their BTI or no?
Depends.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So they've got an investment property.
No. They don't own a home. They live in a rental.
Live in a rental.
But they don't. Because they're renting it.
Okay.
They're trying to buy a house.
Okay.
Okay. So does the rent that they pay count as towards their DTI?
No, because we're assuming that they're moving out of that and into the other.
Okay.
The only time that we would not make that assumption is if
they own the rental and
they're renting a house in Oklahoma, and they are oil and gas.
Okay.
Wife wants to come live here and put the schools in Granbury, and her family lives here. Mm-hmm. So they're wanting a primary residence here, but they're going to continue to rent up there. I either need to show proof that his company's paying for that rent now, or I'm going to have to hit him for that debt.
Right, because he's maintaining.
Right,
okay.
But the assumption is if they're renting in Granbury, and they're buying in Granbury or in or Metroplex, it cancels each other out. That's a great question. Is that so? It goes to logic on that.
Mm-hmm.
Are they moving a reasonable driving distance from their job?
Right.
If so, then we're fine, and we assume that they're getting rid of the rental.
Right. Okay.
If they have that weaker scores that we were talking about, mm-hmm. we may have to do a rental history on that. And by the way, since y'all do deal with people that do pay rent, if they're wanting to buy a house down the road, most likely they're not reporting that rent, right?
Right.
Now, if they're doing it through you guys and they're paying their rent through you guys, we will take a rent history that's on Century 21's letterhead, right? Because that's a third party. But what we will not take is, I rent from Joe Smith, and Joe Smith sends me a letter and says, yes, they've been an excellent
renter
for the last 12 months.
What happens if Joe Smith has a company that's running it?
If it's under the, and they're paying the company, then we could use that. I have used that before.
It has to be written to the company and not to the owner.
Correct.
So
correct. If it's, and we can use that. Now, if they're writing a check, they can pay an individual, and that's what I was going with that. So if you've got somebody that's renting from an individual, encourage them to write cancel checks. Or wire transfer every month to that person's account and make it very clear in the history that they're doing that. But it can't be, I drop off a money order, I drop off cash, and they give me a handwritten receipt. Doesn't matter.
That doesn't work.
No. So if they're in that weaker credit, they may need that. Or we do a manual underwrite, which I'll talk more about in a little bit as well.
I know it's chasing rabbits, but the DTI still, I want to go back to it again. So what is considered, I know the credit that you have to take, the debt to income into consideration and all that other stuff.
If it comes up on your credit.
Okay, then it's.
Then it's accounted against you.
Okay.
If you have an installment loan with a spouse or an ex-spouse for a, you own a business together or whatever, and you, not in your name, but you, that's where we get those divorce decrees. Obviously, child support's included in that. Tax payments are included in that. And we're going to look at all that on your, you know, we're going to look at your credit. We're going to be looking at your at least a month's worth of pay stubs, and we're going to look at your bank statements. Okay. And so, you know, you better be really good at hiding that if you're not going to disclose it. Because a deal can blow up real quick because somebody doesn't disclose that, and then all of a sudden we find it, and we do. I mean, nine times out of ten.
Ten out of ten.
Great, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not a client, it was me. When I ended a 30-year divorce, we had just built a house. He got the house, but my name remained on that loan.
Mm-hmm.
How should I pay? What should I have done to be able to?
Yeah.
I mean, he ended
so,
up several years later selling it, and my name got off.
So if you're advising clients that are divorced, let's take it off of your situation and just kind of put it general. If you're advising clients on how to handle that, I would encourage them to put it in writing that within 6 months after the divorce is final, that the house be refinanced out of your name and into that person's name only.
Okay.
Through the attorneys.
In the divorce decree,
I would have that. Now, how we look at it, if as far as debt to income, going back to that question, is that conventional says that if we've got a divorce decree and it says that the husband, even though both of you are on it, as long as the is current and the husband's responsible for it and is current and the wife wants to get a new, then we can just ignore it, that payment, and we're fine. FHA has recently come back and said you have to have 12 months history showing that the other person paid for it. So guess what you'd have to do on an FHA loan now? You'd have to ask your ex-spouse for 12 months canceled checks or bank statements or whatever showing proof that they are the ones making that payment. And so what should you do? Make sure they get them to get that off their name. Yeah. So you want to encourage that. That's the ideal way to do that, is get them to make that a part of the divorce decree that they will refinance that. And if you're going to get money out of it as the spouse, you want to make sure you file what's called an oilty deed, O-W-E-L-T-Y. What that oilty deed is an extra lien on there so that if you were to, let's say there's $40,000 of equity in the house and you're going to get half of that, so 20, then you put a $20,000 lien on the property so that when they do go to sell 6 months down the road, or refinance 6 months down the road, you are paid out. It doesn't count as a cash out because it is a lien like a mortgage, not like you're paying off an extra debt. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you want to do it that way through a divorce decree with an oilty deed, because then it does not make them do a cash out refinance and get $20,000 cash to give to you. They actually have to then pay that spouse out that $20,000. Title will pull the loyalty deed like they pull everything in the chain of title, right? Boom, the loyalty deed comes up. And that loyalty deed is going to make sure that that spouse has paid that dollar amount through the proceeds of closing.
That's smart.
Yeah. Good stuff? Yeah, that most people don't know that, and a lot of divorce attorneys actually don't do a good job with that, I'll be honest with you. So the knowledge I have with that part right there, you know, I could probably, if I wanted to market that, I could probably make some money off of it.
You probably could.
Yeah.
Also, I found that debts were given to him, but it really didn't matter as far as those companies were concerned. At all, they could care less.
No, you want to close them to further. If your name's on it, they either have to agree to pull it off, which they typically won't. Or you need to stop where there's no further charging able to
cancel the home.
Yeah.
You just cancel
it.
So you could make that part of the decree that they had to
have to cancel. Well, you
if
cancel.
Your name's on it, you can call and cancel it yourself.
Yeah.
I know, but you, even though their name's on it, you can cancel it.
Oh yeah. Now if you're an authorized user, you just say I need to be removed as an authorized user on their account. I mean, ideally, really, in my opinion, at this point in life, I probably wouldn't do a joint credit card with somebody. I do authorize users on each other's accounts so that they can talk and charge and do all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if you need to part ways, here it is, you know.
Thank you.
So, clear as mud?
Because I learned a lot, even with an attorney that didn't care apparently.
Bankruptcy attorneys and divorce attorneys, they're doing the best they can. They just don't do a very good job.
The best they can is just very good.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, buying power. So let's talk about these credit scores and how this impacts. So a purchase price of $350, putting 10% down. So your loan amount's $315, right? Your payment, PITI. Let's look at how this differs from each one of these. 740 credit, okay? Your payment with whatever the current rate was at the time when I did this, right? On a conventional would be 2370 and on an FHA 2505, putting 10% down. So would I ever want somebody to go FHA if they got a 740 credit and putting 10% down? No, it's a ripoff. I've had people do that. I'm like, that's because they make more money. Why do they make more money? Because we add the mortgage insurance into that 315. And so your loan amount is actually another 1.7% higher. And so you're going to make more money as a loan officer. I make more money off FHA. And those of you that work with me know, I try to get your clients to go conventional if at all possible. And so it doesn't make sense. But let's keep a look at it. If it's at 719, that conventional, 2440, FHA 2580. So still, which makes more sense? You're going conventional, right? Now watch how it flips. 659. Putting 10% down. Now, FHA may make more sense because you're talking about... And by the way, if they put 10% down on an FHA loan, does mortgage insurance roll off?
No.
It does.
It does?
On 10% or more down, it will roll off.
When?
After 7 years, 8 years, it will roll off.
I thought it
if never... they put 10% down.
Right.
Less than 10, no.
So,
at 10%, by the way, they will. Most people don't.
Now, but on a conventional with 10% down, at what point?
It's just 80% loan to value, which is the same on this one, but it's about 7 years.
About 7 years, okay.
But it never does with VA, right?
VA has the funding fee. There's not a there's not true mortgage insurance. They rolled it into the loan, and so it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't go away because it's already in your loan amount.
But FHA, anything under 10%, it's the life of the loan.
Anything under, yeah. But now again, how long are people typically in?
7-9 years.
At most. And if, I mean, I just refinanced it. Somebody that was FHA a year and a half ago. And now they're, that's why I don't have people buy points down. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we talked about that.
Not
going to
be in their loan.
It's not going to be, you're not going to, no, not,
well,
you know.
You also are really good. I mean, you care about your clients.
Right.
Because just like with me, I could have bought down, but what I was being charged to buy down and how long it's going to take, what I was planning on taking care of, paying the house off, it would have been a waste of money.
Right. And that's why we had those conversations. I was like, well, what's your plan here? And you said, well, I'm going to pay off in this amount of time. Well, why pay the rate down? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to pay $4,000, I'm throwing the number out, $4,000 up front. Yeah, it's going to save you a little bit of interest right now. You know, whatever a month, let's say it's $20, you know, 20 divided into 4,000, do the math, it doesn't make sense, right? 200 months, well, she's not going to be in the loan that long. Why do it? You know, so 9 times out of 10, I don't get people to buy the rate down, you know, because it just, I mean, I give them the option, but I do that math for them and go, you do what you want to do. This guy was an FHA loan, going to be on it for the life of loan. What's happened? Two things. Value, boom, score, boom, right? Now he was in the 600 range, now he's a 680. Not great, but a lot better, right? And his value's gone through the roof. And so now he's up at 85% loan to value. Mortgage insurance is real cheap, gonna roll off in 3 years, and he's got a better rate, you know. That's why. Well, if he'd have bought the rate down and it was gonna take him 3 years, 4 years, he did that up front, wasted, you know, a couple thousand dollars or whatever for something that now a year and a half later he's refinanced. So, all right, the next one here, 620. Look at this. So you barely have in that deal, right? You're barely there, right? Conventional loan is not going to really change it a whole lot at this point. FHA, you're starting to see a little bit more of an impact on that credit score or that interest rate. But like in 619, it's not even available for conventional. That same property is going to cost you $275 more a month with a 619 credit score. That's because I'm talking too much now. So what your clients are able to buy can be greatly impacted by their credit score. Do you think $250 or $275 a month can impact the level of house they can go look at?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge difference, right?
How much?
Well, I mean.
Are we talking 10, 20,
30,000? Probably 50.
50.
You know, or more. Can $50,000 in Granbury make a huge difference in the type of house you're getting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fit and finish, right? I mean, they go look at, you know, they go look at 380 and they find out they can only afford 315. Are they excited about that? No, because that's a lot different house, isn't it? You know, you're talking about, you know, a house that may be, you know, 3 to 5 years old. Now you're going to a 10 to 15 year old house. That has the same feel. You know, now you gotta, guess what? Well, the next couple of years, you're gonna have to upgrade the kitchen, upgrade the bath, but you know, you're already right there knocking on that door, you know. So that credit can impact where they, you know, where they buy that DTI cap. All right. So if we're talking about, can qualify for a $2,600 loan payment, right? This will kind of give you, this will answer your question. I forgot I put this in here. 740 year credit, their max loan amount, 10% down is 380, 719, 360, 350, 320, 300, so 80,000.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Century 21 Property Advisors podcast today. Make sure you like and share if you got value, and spread the knowledge.